So I think the role for mixed, for the women especially, you're going to have to grind a lot more on the dinks. I love to attack the ball. Look, I have a pretty good sneaky speed up off the bounce.
Yeah,
it's really hard to read. And I have a pretty slippery dink up the line. Like, I'm going to pull the trigger a lot. I feel like I have good hands.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. In today's episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. Now, if you've been watching along or listening along, you know that a lot of the structure of our podcast, we've been doing these segments called CTN or Cruise the News, where we kind of scan the pickleball forums, news articles, and kind of talk about the latest. But today we're going to do something a little different. So we'd love your feedback during or at the end of this podcast to tell us how you like it so we can continue to roll out new segments and get your feedback. Also coming up next week or the following week, we're going to have our very first guest on the Pickleball Connection podcast. So be sure to tune in for that. And we're going to be rolling out more guests in the coming weeks. So a lot of cool stuff happening here at the Pickleball Connection. And we wanted to start off this new series. We're going to kind of call this new series Pickleball Hot Seat. Okay. So the format of today's show, I know kind of the questions I'm going to ask. Danae has no idea
what
I'm going to ask. So she's on the hot seat today. We might reverse the roles in a future episode, put me on the hot seat, or maybe we'll put a guest on the hot seat where we kind of go after some different questions. A little less focused on the pickleball news and more focused on things like strategy, gameplay, travel, you know, business, a lot of different subjects. So in today's episode, we're going to do a pickleball hot seat strategy session.
Strategy session. Mine's easy.
Okay. must be me. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to ask you kind of some strategy questions in terms of when you play pickleball, how you approach the game, kind of put you on the spot and see what you say. And we can dialogue a little bit back and forth. Just because you're in the hot seat doesn't mean I might not chime in a little bit, but you're the focus. Okay.
I'm a little nervous. Just so you guys know, I'm not a pro, but I'll do my best here.
But you're a high level player and you're a really good player.
I just can't wait for these comments. That's not what I would do.
Well, to each his own, you know?
All right, let's hear it. I'm ready.
But if you are one of those people that, and that's what you would comment
it down below.
We would love to know.
We'd love to know. I'd love to play you.
Danae will take on anybody, anytime, anywhere. Okay, so today's strategy session, we're going to start off with this first question. This I actually did steal from a forum post.
Okay.
So we're not getting back into our old session, but just this first question. I did see somebody write this question and they said, do you look to contact the ball when it's on the rise? Because in tennis, a lot of people say that it's advantageous. Now, we don't have tennis background.
No.
In tennis, it's advantageous to contact the ball kind of while it's on its way up. So once it's on its ascent still. And so in pickleball, I've seen some players do this. I've seen some players not. This person mentioned in this question, they see Annalee Waters do this at times. But I wanted to ask you, are there certain shots or certain times when it can be advantageous to contact the ball while it's still traveling, like up after the bounce, or do you like to let it get to its kind of apex and then contact the ball? What would you say?
Yeah, let me think here. So, you know, typically if you are in an offensive position, I think it's really advantageous to try to take the ball as it's coming down from the rise.
So like you have apex. You have the ascent. So the ball, the ball bounces. It's on its way up. Then you have the apex, kind of where it gets to the top of the bounce, and then you have its descent. Where it kind of starts to descend or fall.
Right. So I think like the best time to create topspin, for example, is after the ball has hit the apex and it's on its descent. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that you should never take the ball on the rise. Actually, I feel like depending on like, for example, like this is one actually. So if a player has a really deep and high bouncing serve.
Yeah.
That is an absolute time where I would take that ball on the rise, because if I'm waiting for it to descend and then come like apex and then come down for me to hit it, I could be already backed up to the fence.
Right, right. It doesn't make sense to let the ball bounce to its highest point, because then you're hitting the ball off your back foot on the return.
Exactly. So like if you're getting a player that serves like that, that's when I would take off the rise. Another one, Another time I would take the ball off the rise. I mean, this isn't ideal. Yeah. But like if I'm at the kitchen line and a ball is like let's say they tricked me.
Yeah.
And I was leaning one way because I was anticipating the ball going to a certain direction, and they go behind me and beat me. I can't, if I'm not fast enough to get behind the ball, I just will never get there.
Right.
So another time to take that ball off the rise is that, but that's a really defensive shot. You're not hitting some topspin amazing.
Yeah. So I think you bring up a great point there. Like, there's a difference between like a defensive shot and an offensive shot. Like, I notice a lot when I watch people like J.W. Johnson, even Ben Johns at times, they hit these kind of like scoop dinks. Mm-hmm. And it's really just this defensive shot that the other opponent can't do much with. And so anytime like, or even like Georgia Johnson, somebody that like takes a lot off the short hop, she's still able to kind of weirdly apply pressure, but it's more of like kind of a push or a slice.
Yeah.
And to your point, when you're hitting a top spin dink or a top spin drop or drive, anytime you want to create top spin, yes, in pickleball, you might want to let the ball fall a little bit or descend, because it helps you grip the ball, I think, a little bit better, right? In tennis, it's a little different because they have strings on a racket. So you can maybe shape the ball a little bit more when it's on its ascent, which you can't do in pickleball.
Yeah. So I think those are like two, for example, instances that I would take the ball on the rise intentionally in those situations. Is there anything that like you would add?
Yeah, I think the main one that comes to mind to me is like the return, especially if you're playing singles. But I see a lot of like, if you just watch Federico Stacks, who return the ball, 99% of them are off the short hop and he's almost running through the ball. Because again, taking the ball off the rise, the one advantage is that it's taking time away from your opponents, right? Because you're contacting it sooner. And you want to get to the kitchen and take time away from your opponents in singles.
I'll add one more.
Yeah.
So another time to think about it, or think about the effects of taking the ball off the rise versus the apex or the descent, is very, very spinny balls. So if somebody has a very crazy slice or very like spinny slice that you are having trouble with, taking that ball off the short hop will keep you from being so surprised by how much the ball kicks.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's another one to think about.
Pay attention to like the spin you're given.
Yeah. So just some things to think about.
Love that. Okay. So let me ask this next one. So let's say that you don't have anything to add on the rise thing. You're good.
No.
Okay.
No.
Next question in the hot seat here. Let's say your team is struggling to score on offense. So, you know, these classic times in pickleball when you're like stuck on five.
Yeah.
You just can't get past five.
Okay.
What are some things that you might try to do differently or change up if you just can't score? Or do you kind of just stick to the game plan?
Okay. You should never stick to the game plan if it's not working. Don't stick to a game plan that hasn't been working.
So let's say you're stuck on five and you can't get off five. There's been multiple side outs. Are you going to like say something to your partner? Are you mentally going to change anything? And what would that be?
Yeah. I mean, it depends like what the strategy has been. So for example, if we've been mainly doing third shot drops and like that hasn't been working to approach the kitchen, then try a drive. You know, if For example, like I know we've been in situations where we're stuck on something. We're like, okay, we're just going to drive it and you crash. Like just changing up what you're doing and just trying different things. Another time that I'll change things, like for example, like we will try to out dink people, but if we're playing a team that's better dinkers, usually one or both of us will say, hey, let's start dinking middle. Let's not try these crazy angles and let's just try to like go middle and wait for them to try to do something.
Right.
So I think, yeah, just if your game plan currently isn't working, switch your game plan.
It's actually interesting that you kind of go there because this is actually the next question I have is like very similar to this. And so the next question is about your game plan going into a match. Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No, what is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups because group texts are just not fun. So basically the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online. You're playing a tournament or maybe you're even playing rec and maybe you could answer for both or maybe it's the same. Mm-hmm. But when you're going into a match, do you typically have some sort of baseline game plan that you and your partner are following that you talk about before or that it's understood? Or do you kind of like adjust your game plan, just kind of get in the match, see what's working and adjust your game plan there? But I know that like we've heard that like Ben Johns has like a book that he has like strategy for like every player he plays. He knows their weaknesses and they adjust their game plan and they have certain patterns that they want to get in before the game even starts. So getting into your head a little bit, let's say you're going to play, take it wherever you want. You're going to play a rec match or a tournament match. Do you have a game plan coming out the gates or do you kind of just like adapt your game plan based off your opponent?
So a little trick here, if you're like playing people that you don't know in a tournament, is like just like pay a little bit of attention to your opponents during warm up. Like you'll usually be able to tell, ooh, like that, like they have a good drive, or ooh, like they like are definitely more of a finesse player. Like kind of take note of that. Like I think that's really helpful going into a match. Because then you can know, okay, like this person's gonna like probably hit mainly drives, and you can know, okay, you know, if you're someone that doesn't mind drives or you like, you know, defending a drive, go there, you know. So just pick up things because people will show their preferences and show, you know, what they're good at a lot of times in their warmups.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing to take note of.
Hold on one sec. Sorry, you finish. No. I was going to say, like jumping off that, it's interesting that you say that because what I was thinking about when you were talking, this was a while ago, I played 5-0 men's at Kansas City PPA at a blind date. Do you remember that? You had you played with Rachel, I think.
Oh yeah.
So it was interesting because we went 1-2 in 5-0. So we lost our first match, won our second match in the back draw, and then lost our next match. So not the greatest showing. This is a first date. Oh well. But I remember in our very first match when we were watching the team we were warming up against, it was clear like, okay, we're going to target this guy because he clearly looks like the worst player.
Yeah.
He was clearly, and honestly, we didn't figure it out till probably halfway through the game. He's clearly the better player. So like, I was like, dang it.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, we were hitting
maybe
to him.
Maybe he had an off game.
Well, he just, I think, was a little bit unconventional. So like when you were warming up, it like looks like he's maybe not as good, but he was very good. And we were a little upset that we lost the match because we felt like we could have beat the team. But then it was like a 30 team bracket and this team got like bronze. So it was like,
it's a good team.
It was a good team, but like it was hard to judge based off of warm-ups. So it's interesting that you say like you like to look at people when they're warming up, because I think I do that too. And sometimes it works and sometimes it's like, dang.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the deal. It gives you a baseline, but then you have to adjust to in-game play. You have to. You can't just be like, well, in warm up, they were doing amazing. Like,
so what's like, what would you say, like an example of, like, let's say you get in the game and
I think if they make like two, if they make a run, two, or they rattle off 3-4 points in a row, I'd call a timeout right there and switch your gameplay.
Right.
Figure out, okay, what patterns do they like? Who likes to speed up? Who's the initiator? Like, I would look, I would think about all of that. It doesn't need to be this like long drawn out thing. And then I would adjust your strategy from there.
So like, let's say you're in warmups and both partners that you're going to play against, or both the team you're playing with, they look about equal. Never seen them before. Never played with them in a match before. Completely random team.
What would I do?
What would be kind of your initial strategy?
So my initial strategy, and this is always going into, even if I know what they're good at, I always want to base my strategy off of what I'm good at and what I want to happen. The patterns I like to see. I never want to sacrifice that.
Could you give, without giving too much away, in case a listener ever plays
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I don't ever want to give my secret.
Could you give like an example of like what would that look like that you're good at?
So for example, I love to attack the ball. Look, I have a pretty good sneaky speed up off the bounce.
Yeah,
it's really hard to read. And I have a pretty slippery dink up the line that's really hard to read. So I really like getting a ball to my forehand when I'm playing the right side, because I have a lot of options of what to do. And I love the counter for my backhand. So if you counter to my backhand, you're going to lose a point, I promise you.
Ooh.
I'm just kidding. Unless it's like Annalie or something. No,
you're saying if someone speeds up to your backhand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cocky, but I have a good backhand counter. But I will create plays so that I get A, something to my forehand to attack, or B, I get a counter to my backhand. I want every game I play, regardless of their strength, to incorporate that.
Yeah, so like I've seen a couple things out there. I've heard a couple pros talk about it. There's this idea of like the triangle theory, where like if you hit the ball at an angle, it's going to come back like in a triangle formation. So if you're going to speed up to the middle, you might get a ball back into the middle to like crash. Like when you speed up off the bounce, do you like aim at a particular location so you can try to get that backhand you like?
Absolutely.
So like you're playing the right side.
I go cross their body.
So not cross court, but cross their body.
Cross body into the person in front of me so that I get the backhand.
Right. Because if you go straight, it might come back to your forehand.
If I go straight, which sometimes I do, I'll go straight, but then I slide.
Right. But you're trying, you know, I think that's the kicker. I think that's what a lot of people don't get, is that higher level players, when they speed the ball up, they are anticipating the ball to come back in a particular location that they can counter and put it away. Like the lower level players, they try to speed up and they think that's the winner. And sometimes it is, but you're trying to set up a combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So those are I go into a match wanting to create the combos that I like to play.
Right. So that's kind of your game plan going in. I want to find my two-handed backhand counter. I want to speed up off the bounce when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And you like to play aggressive, I would say, for the most part. Are you kind of 50-50 on drop drive when you get into the beginning of a match?
You know, previously, I would say I was very, very, very drop heavy. I am trying to change that. I'm trying to use my drive more because I feel like I have a pretty decent drive.
Yeah, it's like, it also, you kind of have to in today's game.
You kind of have to.
Can't just hit a drop. It's not 2021.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, cool. I like that. Kind of, I guess I didn't realize these questions were going to kind of like piggyback off one another. But the next question is kind of similar, but it's more based off of, if let's say you're playing mixed doubles versus women's doubles, what do you think is like the most important shot to have in your arsenal to be a good mixed doubles player? And what's the most important shot to have in your arsenal to be good at women's? And do you feel, maybe side question, do you feel like you are about equal at women's and mixed, or better at one or the other?
That's such a hard question. The reality is, it is so rare for me to play women's doubles. Like, I think when you get to higher levels, it's just harder to find other women to play.
If you're a high level female and listening to this, hit Danae up.
Yeah, hit me up, girl. I'll play with you anytime. But it is hard to get four women on the court that are all high level.
So, yeah, so not even just in a tournament, but like organizing local games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's more rare. So I feel like I'm definitely more used to mix.
But do you have like let's say you get the opportunity to have high level.
Oh, I love playing women. I love playing women.
I feel like it's I see that. I feel so like you have fun. A lot of fun. I mean, obviously I'm playing with you when we play mixed a lot, so I don't watch you play mixed from the sideline.
Oh, I love
but I, when I watch you play women's from the sideline, like it seems like you have a blast playing.
Oh, it's so freaking fun, dude. I love women's doubles. I just don't.
I love like coming to like watch you play women's doubles in a tournament and like kind of getting it a little chirpy with the other teams.
Yeah, Barrett's gotten in fights with people. I'm just kidding.
Just a little banter. Just a little healthy banter.
But anyway, so I like them both. I feel like I'm more experienced in mixed because that's what I play more. But I love women's doubles. That being said, they are completely different games. Completely different
Okay,
strategies.
So yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
So I think the role for mixed, for the women especially, is truly you're going to have to grind a lot more on the dinks. Because that's typically how you get your male partner involved more is, you know, creating angles, creating that ability for your mixed partner to come and pressure the middle. I think that there's a lot more dinking, honestly, in mixed doubles for the women.
So you think women. That, so like going back to the question, you think to be a good mixed doubles player as a woman, it'd be good to develop a nice, consistent cross-court dink or just dink in general?
I think dink in general, obviously, if you're like, it's both a lefty-righty pair and, you know, that depends.
Yeah.
So typically, yeah, cross-court, but also you want that to go behind the guy. You want that down the line dink as well.
Yeah.
Like that's super important because otherwise he's going to just sit the middle all day long.
Yeah, keep him honest. I sometimes wonder why more girls don't try to keep the guy honest down the line.
Oh, I think that's like key. If you ever want to play high level pickleball as a woman, you can't just have a good cross court. You have to have that down the line.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like I do like more lately, even from the male perspective, like I try to give a little space down the line and I kind of like try to bait that ball. But like at the same time, like if a girl like never shows me she's going to do that, then I'll give
it.
More and more space because I'm like, I can be more aggressive in the middle because they're never going to hit it down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
So like make the guy prove he can really defend the line before you like, in other words, like, girl, because then he's just going to lean and take up so much court.
Exactly.
So that one. And so what about women's? Like what would be a shot that you would say is more important? I know you don't play it as much, but when you do like,
I mean, I just think you gotta just grind, get balls back. You know, the speed ups aren't as fast, so you know counters are super important in women's doubles.
Like hands,
you just like go back and forth, boom, 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 boom. That's why it's so fun. So I think a good counter. I mean, obviously you need a good counter in mix, but I don't know. It's just a different. You gotta. It's just more grindy. I don't know how else to say it.
I noticed that. Maybe it has to do with like a male not being in front of you, like, or a big presence. But I noticed that it seems like you have a great lob, and I feel like you lob more in women's.
Well, because usually guys are taller.
Yeah.
And I like that cross court lob.
Yeah.
If I'm playing mixed, but if you don't make it tall enough, that's right to his forehand.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I love that cross court lob. It depends on the guy. In front of me.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting. You know, I like that you obviously brought up for mixed the importance of like a good grindy cross court dink, being really steady. But when I see you play women's, I do see, I feel like one, you lob a little bit more.
Yeah, I do.
And two, you seem to attack more off the bounce, like straight in front of you.
Yeah. I've always said this. I love when a girl's in front of me. Like, I get excited for that because I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm gonna pull the trigger a lot. I feel like I have good hands.
You feel like your hands can keep up with any girl.
Yeah.
So when a lot of times you play mixed, there's not a girl in front of you. So I think when you do play women's, your eyes are like light up a little bit.
I know.
Bit.
You're like, I'm like drooling.
Yeah.
Because I love my forehand speed up. I think it's tricky. So.
Okay. Last question.
Okay.
Talk to me a little bit. This one's actually not written down, but I just kind of came up with it. So talk to me a little bit about like your mental space when you play in terms of there are some people that like are very zen and there are some people that are very like chill. And there's this like benefit to being very like smooth and relaxed, not like over gripping, overdoing it, over speeding up, attacking balls you shouldn't. But then there's also the other side of it. If you need to be aggressive, get hyped, like what would you say it's important to have a balance of those two things? And like, where do you think you lean in terms of like aggression versus like kind of chill, smooth fluidity?
You know, I think it's different depending on how the game's going, if I'm being honest. Like, I think if like, I think if I'm like winning, there's a lot of really good momentum, I can get super hype really easily. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm like struggling for some reason, or if maybe we're losing, I instead go to a zen spot. Like, I don't ever want to be like frustrated or play frustrated because that's just going to make me tight. But I figure, okay, if I play relaxed, if I play more zen, if I play where visually, like the opponent doesn't see me visually struggling, mm-hmm. like that's going to help me get to a place where I can just relax and just hit through the ball better.
Yeah.
So if I'm like really struggling for that match for some reason, I'll go into like a more zen mode. And if it's just hype and everything good, then I'll get super hype. But I find that I kind of teeter between those.
So kind of like along those lines, maybe like sub side question, something I've been experimenting with in my own game. I see like Catherine and Anna Lee, obviously they're not together anymore, but when they were
RIP,
when they were playing together, they played a lot with momentum. So when they start scoring in between points, they're up at the line ready to serve. They're really pushing this momentum to like continue on this run and not like slow the game down. You also see the opposite of this. Like, I think it's a very tennis thing in singles. If somebody else has
like
has the momentum, you'll see somebody go over and grab their towel, wipe off, and try to slow that momentum down. So kind of similar to the question I just asked you of like kind of hype versus aggression, do you find that you like to like, do you consciously speed up your momentum in between points or slow down your momentum in between points to try to continue a run or to stop a run from the other team? Or do you just kind of play the, I don't think there's a right answer, but do you kind of play the same speed throughout the game in between points?
So for me personally, there again, I think this is all really personal preference. For me personally, if I go too fast, I'm already like a pretty like hype player. If I go too fast, I'm going to start taking the balls off the short hop. I'm going to start like my timing is going to get super messed up. Mm-hmm. So I actually am pretty zen in between points. I'm pretty chill. I take my time on the serve. I'm not like sitting there forever, but I like take a minute and I just like refocus and I'm like, okay, like here again. So I'm not like I'm going to zip through because we're killing it. I'm always playing at the same pace in between points. If I feel like I want to kill their momentum, I'm going to take a timeout. But I don't ever go rushing because I feel like actually that messes up my timing for the point.
So you bring up a good point. It's important to know yourself, know your kind of what you bring, your kind of energy that you bring, because then you kind of know how to adapt. I think it's interesting like to watch Catherine and Anna Lee move very quickly in between points. And then it can be kind of demoralizing for them to go on this run. The other team looks up, it's been 2 minutes and they've rattled off, or like 90 seconds, you know, and they've rattled off 4 or 5 points. Like that's a little like, wow, this game is, we're getting crushed. You kind of have this idea because it's happening so fast. And then vice versa, I think if another team's rattling off points, like you kind of slowing and breaking up that momentum. It's just something I had been Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about more during a game, but I think that you're also correct. Like, you have to put yourself in a situation. What's going to make you play the best? And you know yourself, and there are times to get hyped and push the narrative, push the momentum, and there's times to like kind of pull it back. And there's the other side of the spectrum where like there's certain players, like I think I've seen Ben get emotional, obviously, quite a bit, even more recently. But there's the other side of like when you're playing somebody and you just, maybe even like a J.W. Johnson, you're playing really well and you just, the other opponent's not affected.
Literally a statue. Yeah.
Like that also,
you cannot get in their head.
That also
so
is kind of tough too, yeah. Because when somebody's emotionless, yeah, it's hard to really feel like you're in control at all, because they're just going to be the same no matter what.
Yeah. So it is interesting. I think everybody is a little bit different. And I've found, like, the more tournaments I've played, I found that, ooh, like, I'm already like a really like tense player. So the more that I can do to just relax, that's what I kind of sit in.
Cool. I think this is very good. I like this episode. We're going to try to continue. If you guys like this format of this hot seat where I'm kind of asking Danae strategic questions, and then maybe in the future she'll put me on the hot seat and come up with the questions beforehand.
Comment if you want to hear Barrett's strategy session, and maybe I'll do that if we get enough comments.
I gave a little strategy. It doesn't have to be strategy the whole time. I gave a little strategy there, but yes, we could do my strategy session, or we could do something.
But if you don't like this, comment strategy. And tell us it stinks.
Tell us if you want us to go back to the cruise the news segments. But like I said, guys, our next episode, or possibly the episode after that, we're going to be having a guest on who we're really excited about. We're going to continue to roll out like kind of more formats of this, because we've kind of stuck to this cruise the news format for a while. So would love your feedback, would love your like, your share. And that's all I have. Do you have anything else, Danae?
No, we will see you guys on the next one.
See ya.